By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'audu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Welcome back. Good morning to the viewers of Rise and Shine. Welcome back to our daily breakfast morning program. Wherever you're watching from, hopefully you had a good start to the morning. Hopefully you started your day by reading Fajr, reading some Quran. And hopefully you're tuned in to gain some Islamic knowledge in today's program. We shall today's program, we're going to discuss another important topic. Like every day, we discuss social issues, issues which are going on in society, and how we can, how are the problems and how we can overcome those problems. So before we start the topic of the day, and like usual, like every day, let's first listen to a blessing of reciting salawat, peace and blessings upon the final messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ma jalasa qawmu majlisan lam yazkurullaha fi. So the final Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that no group of people sit in a gathering in which they do not remember Allah Almighty, wa lam yusallu ala nabiyyihim, and do not recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, illa kana alayhim tiratan fa in sha'a adhabahum wa in sha'a ghafara lahum, except that there will be loss for them on the day of judgment. If Allah Almighty wills, He will adhabahum, He will punish them, wa in sha'a ghafara lahum, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He will forgive them. From this hadith, from this fragrant saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we learn and we understand that whenever we are in a gathering of friends, or you know, even if a group of two people with our friends, our school, college, wherever we are, we should at least remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the first segment of the show. Inshallah, today we will start the show by listening to Surah Rahman, which is the 55th verse of the Holy Quran. And inshallah, when you come back, inshallah, we'll go through some introduction, and then inshallah, we'll go through the translation. Inshallah, we're going to go through the first 25 verses of Surah Rahman. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
الرحمن علم القرآن.
رحمان نے اپنے محبوب کو قرآن سکھایا.
خلق الانسان.
انسانیت کی جان محمد کو پیدا کیا.
علمہ البیان.
ما کانا وما یکون کا بیان انہیں سکھایا.
الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان.
سورج اور چاند حساب سے ہیں اور سبزے اور پیڑ سجدہ کرتے ہیں.
والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان.
اور آسمان کو اللہ نے بلند کیا اور ترازو رکھی.
الا تطغوا في الميزان.
کہ تراز یعنی ترازو میں بے اعتدالی یعنی نا انصافی نہ کرو.
واقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان.
اور انصاف کے ساتھ تول قائم کرو اور وزن نہ گھٹاؤ.
والارض وضعها للانام.
اور زمین رکھی مخلوق کے لیے.
فیہا فاکہۃ والنخل ذات الاکمام.
اس میں میوے اور غلاف والی کھجوریں،
والحبذ العصف والریحان
اور بھس کے ساتھ اناج اور خوشبو کے پھول،
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان،
تو اے جن و انس تم دونوں اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
خلق الانسان من صلصال كالفخار،
اس نے آدمی کو بنایا بجتی مٹی سے جیسے ٹھیکری،
وخلق الجان من مارج من نار،
اور جن کو پیدا فرمایا آگ کے لوکے سے،
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان،
تو تم دونوں اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
رب المشرقين ورب المغربين،
دونوں پورب کا رب اور دونوں پچھم کا رب،
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان،
تو تم دونوں اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
مرج البحرين يلتقيان،
اس نے دو سمندر بہائے کہ دیکھنے میں معلوم ہو ملے ہوئے،
بینہما برزخ لا یبغیان،
اور ہے ان میں روک کہ ایک دوسرے پر بڑھ نہیں سکتا،
فبأی آلائی ربکما تکذبان،
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
یخرج منہما اللؤلؤ والمرجان،
ان میں سے موتی اور مونگا نکلتا ہے،
فبأی آلائی ربکما تکذبان،
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
وله الجوار المنشآت في البحر كالأعلام،
اور اسی کی ہیں وہ چلنے والیاں کہ دریا میں اٹھی ہوئی ہیں جیسے پہاڑ،
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان،
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
صدق اللہ العظیم،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. That was the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman, a very beautiful surah in the Holy Quran. And this surah is known as the beauty of the Quran. And Surah Ar-Rahman, this surah was revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. It consists of 3 rukus and 78 verses. And the reason why this surah is called Surah Ar-Rahman, because in the first verse of this chapter of the Holy Quran, this first verse of this surah, it mentioned this sifat, this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. That's the reason why this surah is known as Surah Ar-Rahman. And Hazrat Ali, the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and which where the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala says that everything has a beauty. And the beauty of the Quran is Surah Rahman. And Mufti Ahmad Yarhan Imi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that there are a few reasons why Surah Rahman is known as the beauty of the Quran. And what some of these reasons, because this surah mentions the attributes, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the surah also, it talks about paradise. It talks about the luxuries in paradise, what a dweller of paradise will get. And that's why it's known as the beauty of the Quran. Another reason why the surah is known as the zenith, the beauty of the Quran, because it has consists of this verse, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. This verse is mentioned 31 times in the surah. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? That's these are some of the reasons why this surah is known as the beauty of the Quran. And it's narrated by Sayyidina Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Surah Hadid, Surah Waqia, and Surah Rahman, the one who does the tilawat of these, then his place will be in Jannatul Firdaus. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful blessing in reciting the Surah of the Holy Quran. And the Surah, the overall summary of what it consists of, what it talks about, is that it talks about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Start of the surah, it talks about the blessing, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Quran. The Quran is a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like this, the messenger, the final messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And it also talks about how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was taught regarding the knowledge of this world and the hereafter as well. And the reason why this surah is in this place of the Quran, why it comes after Surah Qamar, is because Surah Qamar, it talks about Jahannam, it talks about Day of Judgment, the punishment, it talks about the pious people and the reward they'll get in paradise. And it talks about these topics in like a concise matter. And then this surah, Surah Rahman, will expand on these topics and will talk about these topics in more details. So this was the summary of Surah Ar-Rahman, and we should try and recite the Holy Quran, recite this surah, which is known as the beauty of the Quran. So inshallah, now we will go on to the next segment of the show, which is the Kalam of the day. And when you come back, inshallah, we'll start today's topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega Maula laya hai kya kya, poochega Maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala. Nami Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤں جس نے سکھایا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. That was the kalam of the day. And inshallah, now we're going to go on to the topic what we're going to discuss about today. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those amongst you who possess excellence and have capacity should not take all in not giving to the relatives and the needy and the emigrants in the path of Allah, and they should forgive and overlook. Do you not like that Allah may forgive you? And Allah is most forgiving, ever merciful. And Amir Sunnat, he mentioned an incident in the world-renowned book, Call to Righteousness. Where Amir Sunnat, he mentioned an incident regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, who would pay for the expenses of his cousin, Sayyidina Mistah bin Uthatha radiyallahu ta'ala, a companion from Makkah who was poor and had taken part in the Battle of Badr. Sayyidina Mistah radiyallahu ta'ala once inadvertently upset Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. He did so by sitting with people who laid false accusations on the latter's beloved daughter, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, although he himself did not agree with their views nor make any of the aforementioned accusation. Disappointed, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala vowed not to provide Sayyidina Mistah radiyallahu ta'ala any longer. Then the 22nd verse of Surah Nur was then revealed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which I mentioned, and amongst you who possess excellence and have capacity should not take oath in not giving to the relatives and the needy and the emigrants in the path of Allah, and they should forgive and overlook. Do you not like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive you, and Allah is most forgiving, ever merciful. After the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this verse, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala said, I desire that Allah forgives me, so I shall never discontinue providing for Mistah radiyallahu ta'ala. He resumed his financial assistance thereafter. My dear viewers, Madhid Shalan, do you notice how Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu took an oath to break ties with his cousin Sayyidina Mistah bin Uthatha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But then when this verse was revealed, he excused him for the sake of Allah. Now we should think to ourselves that if such a thing happened to us, we would stop talking, meeting, or even greeting the other person. If we even break ties with our relatives on the smallest issues, do not treat them well, and even stop talking to them for days, years. And from the incident, we should all consider, how are we amongst these individuals who upset our relatives? We should also think about those who may be upset with us. and we should immediately make efforts for reconciliation, providing there is no prohibition sanctions by Sharia. Even if you have to humble yourself, even if you have to humble yourself, and even if it's not your fault, the reason why you're not talking, even though it's not your fault, and you just admit and say, yeah, okay, I put my hand up, it's my fault. Do so for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will reach new found heights of success as a result. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he who humbles himself for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a high and lofty rank. Allahu Akbar. He's granted loftiness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions verse 38 of Surah Ar-Rum. Therefore, give the relative his right, and to the needy and to the traveler. This is better for those who seek pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only their objective has been fulfilled. And Mufti Ahmad Yarhan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, explains that this verse ordains for all rights of a person's family to be fulfilled. We also learn each relative has their own rights without any exception. This verse also explains how good conduct and charity should not be displayed towards one family as simply custom or art or tradition. It should be done purely and solely for the sake of Allah. Only then is a person rewarded for good conduct towards his family. From here we learn that usually this is what we see in society, that we don't like a family, we don't like a certain people, but we do it for the sake of it. So they invited us to a gathering, we'll just go for the sake of it, just show our face. We don't do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There'll be no reward in that case. You don't like that family, but you just go in there just to show your face. You won't get rewarded for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't like that family, but you do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, even though I have my disputes, even though I have my difference of opinions with that certain family or that certain person, Ya Allah, I'm going to his house, I'm going to this function for your pleasure. And my dua is, Ya Allah, remove our animosity, remove our hatred for each other. Allow us to reconnect with each other again. Just making some few intentions, reward, a person will get reward. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Indeed, actions are dependent upon intention. No matter what action you do, I can come in the morning to this show, to present this show, and if I don't have any intention, good intention, I will not get reward for this. But when I come out in the morning, set out, like the technical team, they set out in the morning, we make some good intentions, then inshallah, what will happen is that you'd get reward as well. This is the blessing of making intention. You get up in the morning to go work, make it, Ya Allah, I'm get up, I've woke up in the morning, I'm going to this job to get halal income. To get halal income, to refrain myself from any haram income for your pleasure, so that I can provide halal sustenance to my family. This is a very good intention. So this is the form of worship as well. This is a form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making an intention. And just by making an intention, everything changes. But if you don't make an intention, a person, you will not get any reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, he says that, fear Allah in whose name you demand mutual rights, and be mindful of your blood relations. Indeed, Allah is observing you at all times. And yet again, Mufti Ahmad Yarhan provides a graceful explanation of this verse. He says that the same way in which salah, fasting, hajj, zakat are necessary for Muslims, it is of similar absolute necessity for them to fulfill the rights of relatives. This is a huge advantage, not only for our life in this world, but also for our death and hereafter. And Allah has commanded us to show good conduct and be kind to our relatives. And an example which he can give is that if a certain government forbids from doing a crime, a certain crime, and announces a punishment for whoever is found performing it, nobody in their right mind would deliberately go ahead and commit the crime regardless. They'd try to avoid it instead. And now let us consider, if we pay this close attention to the roles of the worldly leaders, what about the commands of Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen? Everything we receive, be it benefit or harm, occurs according to His will. He harbors complete power over our lives and deaths. How foolish of us to deliberately disobey a being of such limitless strength, and it is none but He who ordered us to maintain good ties with our relatives. And more importance could be understood of this conduct by, if someone takes an oath to not treat his relatives well, he must still exhibit good conduct towards them and undertake expiation. He cannot fulfill that oath. So a person does make the oath, he cannot fulfill it. He has to break, he has to still obey and have good conduct with his relatives. This is the importance of maintaining ties with your relatives. And Sayyidina Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, I humbly asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I go to my cousin to ask for something, he does not give me anything nor treat me kindly whenever a need arises for him. However, he comes and asks for me, I've taken oath to not give him anything nor maintain ties with him. What do you declare for me to do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do whatever is good and expiate your oath. If a person, he takes an oath wrongfully, vows an oath, makes a vow wrongfully to harm someone, to cut ties with relatives, or not to fulfill rights of another, it is sinful for them to carry out such an oath. Expiation must also be paid for it. Find the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, by Allah, if any one of you takes an oath to harm his family, he commits a greater sin according to Allah than that of dissolving his oath and making expiation for it. Renowned commentator Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala once again offers his expert insight. It is sinful for an individual to carry out an oath which infringes the rights of his relatives. For example, if he vows to not serve his mother or not to speak with his parents, it is necessarily binding wajib for him to break such an oath and fulfill their rights. And he has to then give expiation. And we usually hear this word, Sila Rahmi, that have good conduct. And what does Sila Rahmi mean? Is all types of kindness and favors. And the word Rahm denotes to family ties and relationships. Sila Rahmi denotes upon having good conduct with families and any other relationship. And the book of Bahari Shariat, it defines Sila Rahmi as establishing ties between family members and treating them well. So Sila Rahmi is establishing ties between family members and treating them well. And the Ahmad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he writes that as unanimously agreed upon by the entire Ummah, creating and maintaining ties of kinship is necessary, is wajib. The command to exhibit good conduct with one's family has been issued unconditionally in the hadith. The words dhawil qurba, those of close proximity, relatives and family, were also unconditionally stated in the Quran. As there are varying levels of kinship, there is also a variance in reward to the level of good conduct shown. This also depends on the family member status. Parents who hold the greatest status in this matter. Second are relatives with whom one may never marry due to having genealogical ties with them. After them is the status of all other relatives. So we have to treat them good unconditionally, which is mentioned in the Quran. So the first status, the greatest status from the Zawil Qurba, the close relative, is the parents. And then after that, the second are those relatives which is forbidden for a person to marry, the mahram. Those who have genealogical ties, never marry that individual, like your hala, your maternal auntie, your maternal uncle, your paternal auntie, your paternal uncle, your kids, your nephew, your nieces. These are those individuals which you cannot marry. And after this, the status and the relationship of the entire other relatives. And according to this, a person can show good conduct to the family in various ways. For example, giving gifts, helping when they require help, giving them salam, meeting them, spending time in their company, speaking with them, and being gracious towards them. If a person is in a foreign country, he should send letters to his relatives and continue to remain in touch with them, or send messages if they have social media, on social media, WhatsApp, online, on your phone, send them messages constantly. Keep in contact with your family members if you're living abroad. Possible, a person should ensure to return to his country so that ties with the relatives remain solid. This will also increase affection and love amongst them. So this is the important, the zawil qurba, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your auntie, your uncle, and your cousins, and the entire, your friends. You need to treat them with good manner. Treat them with respect. Treat them in such a way that you want to be treated. If you want to be treated in a good way, if you want to be treated in such a way where people respect you, they'll give you some sort of honor, if you want that, you need to do the same to other people as well. And you should go to your family's house, your family members, your auntie, your uncle, sit with them, sit with your grandma, your grandparents, and sit in their company and gain their blessing. Sometimes you sit in their company, they'll mention a story to you from when they was small, and story where you could take many lessons from these people, these grandparents. They have many stories they can tell. And stories which are not useless stories, they have many lessons in them. So we should all try and keep this love and increase the strength between the bond between your relatives, and especially your close relatives like your parents, your siblings, your aunties and your uncles. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the reminder. When you come back, inshallah, we will continue with our program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The companion of the Prophet, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, undoubtedly, amongst you, the most beloved and closest to me on the day of judgment will be those who are the most well-mannered among you. And amongst you, the most dislike and the farthest from me on the day of judgment will be those who are ill-mannered, who talk too much, are rude, and those who speak excessively with gaping mouths. Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has commented on this hadith and explained this. Because a well-mannered person often performs good deeds more, sins are rarely committed by him. Honesty, meaning faithfulness, being trustworthy, trustfulness, fulfilling promises and having correct dealings are all included in good manners. And ill-mannered people often are sinners. Bad manners themselves are evil and a means of many evil actions. Lying, misappropriating, breach of promise and deceptions are all dealings and branches of bad manners. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, safeguard yourself and others from being ill-mannered, for being ill-mannered will keep us away from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. And being well-mannered, being truthful, being nice, doing good deeds will keep us close to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala. Listen, that was a daily reminder. And back to the topic of the today, which was regarding maintaining ties with your relatives. And besides being cautious to your relatives, you should wholeheartedly maintain these good ties with everyone. And with your relative, you should come to their aid whenever they need you. Attend when they call you somewhere. Support them in their joys and sorrows, and invite them to permissible functions and occasions. All of these good things and every other way you may exhibit good conduct with them, are considering maintaining good relationships with your relatives. Good conduct towards one's relatives does not just mean you should only behave well with those who behave well with you. No. It's actually not the actual way of ties with relatives. And you should send gifts to relatives who are sent. No, you should not even, just because your relative has sent you a gift, that should not be the reason why you have sent a gift. And just going to the person's house, the one who comes to your house, no. In actual fact, good treatment means establishing ties with the one who cuts ties with you. By extension, this also means to care about the relatives who ignores and stays away from you. So those relatives that come to your house, and you only go to back to there, there's also already a good connection with you. So Rahmi is, the main aspect is maintaining good ties with those who have distanced themselves away from you. So your relatives, which don't come to your house, those relatives that do not give you gifts, you're supposed to go to their house more than those who do. Because you need to maintain your ties with those relatives more. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said that the one joining ties with relatives is not he who doesn't so in exchange for good conduct shown to him. Rather, it is the one who joins ties when they are broken. And he stated in another hadith, do not become those who say, if people are good towards us, we'll be good to them. And if they oppress us, we will oppress them in return. Rather, make it your habit to be good to others when they show good conduct toward you. And if people oppress you, still avoid oppressing them. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where we shouldn't just maintain good relationship with certain relatives because they are good to us. No. We do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have broke their ties, who do not speak to them, we should have this courage. We should build this confidence and just humble yourself and go and start speaking and visiting their home and start maintaining and building this relationship and building this, you can say, this relationship between you. So inshallah, now we'll go into the daily hadith, and inshallah when we come back, we'll have someone on the call, a special guest on the call, who's not from the UK. He's out of the UK, he's from the Norway. And inshallah, we'll introduce him after this short segment. We are going to go to now the daily hadith. When you come back, hopefully the guest is ready to talk to us and give a message and talk about today's topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Gratitude and showing thankfulness is what separates outstanding people from normal people. Now, people who are thankful, people who show gratitude, they have a status in society. People respect them, people honor them. Why? Because they realize that they did not reach their status, their maqam, without the help of others. And if you look throughout society, there is this habit. People have this noble habit of thanking others. That could be peers, that could be colleagues, friends. The question is, when was the last time we sat with our blessed parents and we said to them humbly that thank you, O mother, thank you, O father, for raising me, for nurturing me, for bringing me up, for taking care of my needs, for being there for me. And this is something that we need to adopt and something that we need to do regularly. Because it's only when one becomes a parent himself or herself to realize the struggle of bringing a child up. And then many of us, we had many siblings as well. So at the same time, a parent is looking after 4 or 5 kids, giving all of them love and taking care of their needs. So this is what we need to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded in the Quran, "Anishkur li wa li walidayk," that be grateful to me and your parents. And we need to do this often. We need to sit with our parents and we need to thank them. Inshallah, we'll gain an abundance of blessings.
By the grace of Allah. by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, we've got our scholar here, Madani. We've got someone from speaking from Norway, Maulana Saqib Saab, who has studied in Jamiatul Madinah. The scholar, he's serving the deen. He's an imam in one of our Fizan al-Madinah, one of our centers in Norway. We would like to welcome him onto our show. I think this is probably his first time, or he may be here before, I'm not aware. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Maulana Saab?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How you go, Habai?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This is your first time on this show, or have you been here before?
First time on this particular program.
Mashallah, mashallah. Nice to hear from you. How's everything in Norway? How's the Dawah Islami work?
Norway, it's good, alhamdulillah. Just trying to do the little work of deen we can, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. So talk about today's topic is a very important topic. Like every day for this program, we talk about social issues that are going on in society and how we can overcome and try some solutions to the audience that are watching us. And today's topic is regarding maintaining ties with relatives. And this is something we suddenly see that people there, just for small arguments, petty things you can say, just small amount of land or something back home that happened, we just break our relationships. We don't speak to our sibling just for a small piece of land. And then when that brother or sibling passes away, that's when we show our face on his janazah. This is our mentality. And what do you say regarding these individuals? And what is the Islamic, what can you say about Islam? What importance Islam has regarding maintaining ties with your, not just your relatives, just even your relatives, and just Muslims in general as well.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Do you go hereby? What we are talking about today is what I would say one of the major issues within the Muslims today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, serve Allah and do not join any partners with Him and do good to parents and kinsfolk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He talks about His tawheed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Himself, and He mentions that do not do shirk, do not associate any partners with Him. Then the next following command we find is in relation to sila rahmi, is in relation to having good conduct. Who should you have good conduct with in terms of your relatives first? They are your parents. After your parents, kinsfolk, meaning those people associated with your family, your relatives, your uncles, your aunties, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, etc. So these are all of those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after not associating partners with Him. Allah ta'ala could have mentioned any other good deed or a sin after mentioning His tawheed to show His importance. But what does Allah show? To show good behavior and have a good positive outlook to your parents and your kinsfolk. The commentary of the ayat I read before, the scholars have written that the people who do sila rahmi, the people that who hold a good conduct with others, will earn rewards in this life and the hereafter. And what are some of the rewards they will earn in this life and the hereafter? The scholars mentioned that the first thing that will happen when you have a good conduct towards your family, your relatives, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase your sustenance. Look, majority of the disputes that happen today are for people that they have those disputes to increase their wealth. But if you look at the opposite of this, it says that if you do not have sila rahmi, if you do not do good, then Allah will decrease your rizq. Majority of the time you steal a land from somebody, somebody else will steal it from you. You commit a crime to get that, the police will catch you. So instead of what you think will increase your rizq decreases. Similarly, those people who hold a good conduct, who do sila rahmi to their relatives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elongates their life. Allah ta'ala gives them a longer life. Everybody is in need of a longer life. Everybody wants to live long. Everybody wants to enjoy the bounties of these worlds. But if you're not good to your relatives, if you're not good to the people of this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bless you. As the hadith says, Allah carries on helping people as long as they help each other. If we stop helping each other, we shouldn't expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just ask, these are the blessings. You mentioned the blessings of these having building your relationships, not breaking them. But for argument's sake, a person might propose this question, or one of the viewers, that my relative has done this to me, and he's done such and such act to me. Why should I go to him? He needs to come to me and apologize to me.
Once Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was making dua to Allah, and during his dua, he said, Ya Rab. And when he said, Ya Rab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam by saying, Labbaik. So when Musa alayhi salam was making dua, he said, Ya Rab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back by saying, Labbaik. And Musa says, Ya Allah, what is my status that I call to you? And you reply to me by saying, Labbaik.
Allah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Musa, I love an individual who calls me by Rabb. And see that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says that, Ya Allah, is this only for the good believers or is this for the sinners as well? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies that this is for the believers and the sinners. And see that Musa alayhi salam says that, Ya Allah, it's understandable that a person who does good, you treat him with mercy. But what about the individual who goes against your commands? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if I treat the good with mercy, then where will my mercy go for the sinners? If someone does good to you and you reply that good back with goodness, then where will the mercy go for the people who do bad to you? It's not an amazing thing to do good to somebody good. You're just returning the favor there. But it takes a man, or it takes for you to be a bigger person to do good to someone who's wronged you. It's always easier if you get into a fight with a 6'4" big built person to say, oh, I forgive that individual. But when it's a weak person, then you do not forgive that individual. And remember that if you are merciful, if you have rahim, if you treat good to the people who have wronged you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy towards you. Because where we get upset about people wronging us, where we get upset about people going against what we said to them, we should remember that we have gone against the commands of Allah on multiple occasions. We have gone against the command of Allah every single day we do it. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to be merciful towards us. There are certain scenarios where you are allowed to cut ties, where you should cut ties. It even becomes wajib for you to cut ties. You should speak to scholars, Muftiyane Ikram, and they will guide you accordingly. For example, if a person, he has lost his aqidah, he has become a person who is not upon the true commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is not upon the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commands you to cut ties with that individual. We cannot say anything here. This is not bad, because for a Muslim, for a person, his iman is the most important thing in this world. So there are certain scenarios where you are and you should cut ties with individuals. But I think what we're referring to here is, for example, if you invited me to your wedding and I don't come to your wedding, or if it was a relative's birthday and you forgot to take a gift, or if they gave you £50 at your wedding and you returned about £30. These are not things that should make us angry. These are not things that should stem the seed of hatred in our hearts that we cut ties with them. This is not the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And you know, Goherbhai, I would say that majority of the time, if I don't think I'd be wrong in using the word majority, that there is a small dispute between two families or two relatives, and it's the broader family which stir the wooden spoon and cause it to become something bigger. For example, if somebody didn't attend somebody's birthday party, or they didn't give them a gift for a certain reason, that person himself might actually forget. He might actually forgive that person in his heart. But when that uncle comes, or when that auntie comes, and she says, oh, did you see that? He never even gave you anything for your wedding. He never even picked your son up to wish him happy birthday. And these are the types of people that you need to be aware of. Because sometimes the flame will go with the gust of wind, but because people will be there to add fuel to it, it'll just get bigger and bigger.
And these topics that we discuss, these social issues, and these are mentioned in the Quran. And sadly, for Muslims, we stop reading the Quran. We don't, either if you read the Quran, We don't understand the Quran because we don't know the Arabic language. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami provides many departments and many avenues, many places where people can go and study the religion of Islam. And one of the departments is Jamiat al-Medina, where someone can study this Jamiat al-Medina, Dars-i-Nizami, where at the end of it, you can understand the Quran and the Hadith. And Alhamdulillah, you are one of the graduates of Jamiat al-Medina from the UK. You left your country from Norway, came here, studied here for 6 years. Now you're going back serving the deen. So is there any message before you leave us or any message you want to give to the audience regarding Jamiat al-Medina, the importance of seeking Islamic knowledge?
A famous hadith, which is known as Hadith of Jibreel. You study it in your second year of Dars-i-Nizami as well. And it's about when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes in the form of a human to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asks him about al-Islam, wal-Iman, al-Ihsan, and then the signs of the Day of Judgment. The scholars say that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came into the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the start of the hadith, it says that the companions described him as a man with extremely black hair and extremely white clothes. This is something that we find in the riwayah of Abu Hafs. Sayyidina Umar narrated it, that they described Jibreel alayhi salam as a man with extremely black hair. Now the scholars say that the beauty of this is, when does a person find black hair on his body? Mm-hmm. A person finds black hair when he's in his youth, when a person is at his prime, when a person has energy, when a person has freedom to do everything. That's what black hair is associated with. Meaning Jibreel, an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he adopted the form of a youth. He adopted the form of a young man when he came to seek knowledge. This shows us that the importance of seeking knowledge in the youth. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that there would be seven types of people who would be given the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And one of those people, one type of group, is that individual who spends his youth in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is, as we know, no greater form of worship other than seeking ilm. Seeking ilm, learning about the religion, is what we would say the highest form of ibadat. And the hadith back this, as there is a hadith that a sahabi, a companion, was on his deathbed, and he came to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what good deed should I indulge myself in that I pass away in that state? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, busy yourself in learning ilm. If there was any deed greater than that at the time of death, the Prophet surely would have commanded him with that. But the Prophet told him to learn ilm. And when a person learns ilm, I'll be honest with you, the society we live in, I'm an imam, some of the issues that I have to deal with is because of people don't have ilm. It's because people don't learn, they don't study. They're not willing to give up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of their lives to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect themselves. People have doubts in their mind about the religion. Imagine you live to 60 years. You're not willing to give up 10% of your life for the most important thing in your life. Allah. How does that make sense? If you're going to live to 60, taking 5, 6 years out of your life, which is 10% of your life, to study the religion of Allah. People say, oh, there should be a balance between deen and dunya. There should be a balance between the religion and the world. If you want to talk about balance, then the balance would be, out of your 60 years, you study 30 years of your life and you spend 30 years for the dunya. But our scholars have made such a course, our ulama have done such work, our imams have done such work, that they've shortened it to just 6 years of your life. Mm-hmm. That you spend 6 years of your life, and inshallah, if you study properly, if you are respectful towards your teachers, if you study your books properly, Allah Ta'ala will open the doors of knowledge for you. Then, you know, what I found to be one of the biggest benefits of learning ilm, and other people will agree, is that you can live your life fearlessly. Obviously, you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a different kind of fear. But fearlessly in the sense of that, when you are praying salah, or when you are doing an obligatory act of Islam, you know that you are somewhat doing it to the correct method. You don't have to be in doubt, or is my wudu, a very basic thing, is my wudu complete or not? If this happens in my wudu, is that correct or not? Is my clothes pure or not? Is my ghusl done or not? is my prayer done or not? All these simple things, even to the extent of when you go to the house of Allah, when you go to do Umrah, when you go to do Hajj, you save up all your life to be able to do that journey. And when you do, and at the end of it, you still have doubts whether you've done it correctly or not. So these are things that we need to learn. And even in the world, like if you jump into something without studying it, you're most likely going to fail. For example, if you open a business which you know nothing about, unless you have a good mentor or unless you've studied extensively in it, you're setting yourself up for failure. And Islam and Iman is one of those things that you do not want to try, because you only get to live once. And if you do it properly, then you get paradise. If you do not do it properly and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is not included, then there is very severe consequences in the hereafter.
MashaAllah. JazakAllah. Very good points you have mentioned.
JazakAllah for your time. And hopefully we hear from you.
Thank you for inviting me to your program.
InshaAllah. Hopefully hear from you soon again. Till next time. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah. MashaAllah. That was Marana Saqib Sahib from Norway, who is the Imam of one of our centers. He stood in Jamaat. The last message he left was regarding the benefits and the importance of seeking Islamic knowledge. How, as Muslims, we go through social problems, social issues. And as a Muslim, we don't understand the Quran. We don't understand the teaching of the Quran. And one way of understanding that and the teaching of the Quran is studying Darsi Nizami, a 6-year Islamic course for brothers, 5-year for sisters. And Dawud Salam provides this in the form of Islamic University, Jamiat al-Madina. Inshallah, you'll see the benefits which you'll gain, not just in this world, but in the hereafter. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the documentary as well of Jamiat al-Madina. That is the next segment, inshallah, when you come back, which will give more information about Jamiat al-Madina. Inshallah, when you come back, we'll continue on with today's topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The Ummah needs Islamic scholars. The Ummah needs this ulama. And you can understand how important the ulama are for an Islamic society. Ulama al-Sunnah are very necessary for spreading the religious knowledge and well-being of Islam. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami established such a department that produces Islamic scholars. Such universities have been established where, along with religious knowledge, traditional education is also provided. The student is prepared to be a great leader in our society. You would also be glad to know that 1,319 branches of Jamaat al-Madina have been founded on the national and international levels. And more than 107,000 male and female students are currently enrolled on these courses. And you would also be pleased to know that, alhamdulillah, around 20,000 students have completed this Darsi Nizami course, and they, in the majority of the cases, are now serving the deen. You can say that your Dawud Islami has provided thousands of Islamic scholars to the Ummah, and it does this every single year. The branches of Jamaat al-Madina are not only restricted to Pakistan, but alhamdulillah are all around the world, such as in Nepal, Bangladesh, UK, Kenya, South Africa, Sri Lanka, the USA, Mozambique, Mauritius, Hong Kong, Canada, Spain, India, Malawi, Uganda, Tanzania, Italy as well. Viewers, let me tell you about another beautiful thing about this department. The medium of teaching in Jamaat al-Madina is not just Urdu. But in English-speaking countries, English is used for teaching. Bengali is used where it's understood. And in the African countries, African languages are the medium of teaching. It is also understood that as the needs of the region are considered. Let me tell you another thing. In Pakistan, Fiqh Hanafi is followed. But in other countries where Fiqh Shafi is followed, or where other fiqhs are followed, the education provided is under that fiqh. This is such an awesome department. I would make a request here. People say that in every household there should be a doctor, in every household there should be a lawyer, in every household there should be an accountant. But within Dawud Islami, we say that in every household there should also be an alim ad-din. In every household there should also be faz as well. And we should also try and encourage our family members to be on this. Because inshallah, azawajal, these people, the Hafiz of Quran and the Ulama'i Quran, they will intercede for their family on the Day of Judgment. And why should we not make our children an alim or an alima? My dear viewers, this was about religious institutes and religious education. But nowadays people say that worldly education is also important. The worldly studies are also taught in our madaris and our jamiat. You'll be delighted to know that Jamiatul Mubtadeen, the Department of Dawud Islami, has now become a degree awarding institute. From the federal government, we have got a board named Kanzul Madaris. Now, your Dawud Islami has its own board where students are awarded the degree of MA in Islamiyat along with Dars-e Nizami degree. Alhamdulillah, this means that our students get worldly degree of graduation along with the religious degrees from our own institutes.
It's all over the world by the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, we'll go on to the last segment of the show. When you come back, inshallah, we'll conclude today's program. And inshallah, the last is the promo. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "The one who gives sadaqah to seek the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that sadaqah will become shield in between him and hellfire." Viewers of Madari channel, Dawat Islami is an international organization operating. The main departments include Jamiatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina, Madari channel, and Darul Iftahil Sunnah. These departments require millions of rupees to operate. Do contribute and help spread the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah all over the world.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel, sort code 309773, account number 4363456 0, IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3450, BIC LOYDGB 21087.
Your donation can be used for any permissible religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Without a shadow of doubt, maintaining good conduct with one's family and establishing ties with them brings about profuse blessings. It earns a person's esteem, honor, success in the hereafter, the pleasure of Allah, increases in sustenance, lengthening of lifespan, and other priceless blessings. However, break ties of kinship, displeases Allah, ruins the hereafter, and also suffers greatly even in the worldly affairs. Many a time, we do not have a positive opinion for our family. Instead, we allow suspicion and ill opinion to take over, leading to family ties being broken right, left, and left, right, and center. Sadly, this trend of instantly thinking bad of someone, suspecting them, or having ill opinions is rampant. Over the smallest doubt or suspicion, we end up breaking ties with our own families. We invite a family member to a function that we have arranged. Something came up and this family member was left unable to attend. We normally proceed to criticize, lamla, and defame him, even resorting to backbiting in this process. We tell ourselves, as he rejected our invitation, we will never attend anything he invites us as well. That's our mentality. That because he hasn't invited us, we're not going to invite him as well. And this is something that we cannot do. Just because a certain individual has not invited you, your family member, or a certain person did not turn up to your gathering, that does not mean that you have to do the same and be the same individual, not turn up to his gathering. He may have had a valid reason. He may have been busy. He may have some issue, problems. We cannot make ill assumptions, we cannot make false assumptions about an individual. And sometimes a person, he may be unwell, or he may have forgot, or perhaps something came up which was last minute, he cannot avoid it. Or something may have come up which is hard for him to talk to you about. These are some things that we need to consider before we make these ill assumptions about individuals. No matter what another person does, no matter what another family member does, we still need to have good opinions and to be good to them. And the Prophet said, the harboring good opinions is an act of worship, Allah. You have good opinions of an individual. You think good about a certain individual, you'll get is a form of worship. And the meaning of this hadith is that possessing good opinions of Muslims as well as not thinking ill of them are considered fine and commendable acts of worship. Even if you have a relative who does not meet you deliberately, or otherwise does not invite you to see them, or has openly displayed bad conduct, remain big-hearted and do not be discouraged and maintain ties with them. Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala narrated, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once said that whoever desires for a palace to be built for him in paradise and his rank to be raised should forgive the one who oppresses him, give to the one who deprives him, and establish ties with the one who breaks ties with him. This is one importance of making ties. If you want a palace in paradise, if you want to enjoy the luxuries of Jannah, if you enjoy those luxuries, then we need to build our ties. And sometimes we, like the guest which came on, Saqib Bhai, like he was mentioning that sometimes we break ties just for the smallest things. But so small, petty things, that person didn't come to my house. I invited him, he didn't come. It's my son's first birthday. He didn't attend my son's first birthday. Small things which we take them negatively. Oh, I gave his son £30 on his son's birthday. He's gave me £20. He might not have the means. Even though you might think he has the means, he has more wealth than you, still does not give you the opinion. Or it does not give you the right to have this false opinion about that individual. You cannot be that person who thinks falsely about individual, but have this bad mentality and bad thinking about another individual, another Islamic brother, another Islamic sister. And from today's show, from today's program, we learned harms of breaking ties. We learned the importance of maintaining ties. We learned how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam encourages us to make ties. And we also learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran to be good to parents, read salah, pay zakat, perform hajj. He's also said, maintain good, be good to your family members, your kinship, build your ties, don't break your kinship. So from today's program, if there's anyone out there, if you're watching and you know that you're not behaving good with a certain family member, go to their house and speak to them, ask forgiveness before it's too late. If you want paradise, don't break your ties. Go to them, humble yourself. It doesn't matter even if they were in the wrong. You humble yourself, ask their forgiveness. Inshallah, you'll see the blessings that you'll get in this world. The year after, your sustenance will increase, your lifespan increases. Inshallah, in the afterlife, you'll get paradise. So, my dear viewers of Rise and Shine, my dear channel, please seek forgiveness from a person who you've broken ties with. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acting and behaving like this. And inshallah, you'll see the success that not only you'll gain in this world, and again in hereafter, inshallah, you'll come again in the morning. Another unique and social topic which we'll discuss, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun